Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. But all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still energetic about what we are going to be studying because we're still in the book of Isaiah. And we know that this study will expose all of the prophecies of Isaiah, the prophet, about the Messiah of Israel, which points directly to Jesus the Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies actually gives a vivid description of the Savior to be. Now, many theologians today constantly use verses from the manuscripts of Isaiah. The Jews consider Isaiah a major prophet, and his writings are revered by both Jews and Christians alike. Now, I highly suggest that you should have your Bible sources open, laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you'd like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you so much, my precious brothers and sisters. As our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? The Spirit said to the church at Ephesus, he that overcometh shall eat of the tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's taken from Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Now, the promise is that you will eat of the tree of life that's in the midst of the paradise of God if you keep the instructions and overcome what the instructions tell us to do in the book of, or the instructions given at Ephesus. The Spirit said to the church at Smyrna, he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. That's in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. Now, the promise is that we will not have to be suffering and hurt by the second death if we listen and respond to what the Spirit says to the church at Smyrna. The Spirit said to the church at Pergamos, he that overcometh shall eat of the hidden manna and will be given a white stone with a new name written thereon, which only he shall know. That's in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. And again, the promise is that we will have and receive a new stone with our names written on it, and we will eat of the hidden manna if we keep the instructions that are given by the church, the Spirit, to the church at Pergamos. The question is again, my brothers and sisters listening out there, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we go to the study, I want to again remind you that the Bible is written in code. It's written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Now, let's get to the study. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 30, and we're going to be reading verse 1 through 14. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 through 14, and this is the 41st instruction out of 101 that I've written in this series. Now, what I want you to do is pay attention to the instruction as we read the verse. The instruction is worldliness will cause man to fail. Do you hear that, my good brothers and sisters listening out there? Worldliness will cause you to fail. And this is what Isaiah the prophet told Israel at the time in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 through 14. This is what Isaiah says. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that taketh counsel, but not of me, meaning that you listening to the world, and that cover with covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Isaiah is reminding Israel of what happened during their captivity. Therefore, shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Remember when Israel was in the desert, they started talking to Moses and Aaron about going back to Egypt. Verse 4 says, for his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of the people that could not profit them, nor be a help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burdens of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. That's what worldliness will give you, my brothers and sisters. Listen, verse 7 says, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Listen, my brothers and sisters, their strength is to sit still. Remember what God said by the prophet or by David in the Psalms, be still and be quiet and know that I am God. Verse 8 says, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come and forevermore. Basic instructions before leaving earth is what is giving us our instructions today. Of course, the Old Testament is what, not the Old Testament, but old scripture, the old covenant, is what Isaiah was telling the Israelites at the time. Verse 9 says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not until us right things, speak not unto us small things, prophesy deceit. And we know that exactly what the people wanted to hear. Smooth things, like verse 11 says, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease before us. They did not want to hear the prophets and what God had to say to them. That's what the prophet Isaiah was telling them. Verse 12 says, wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise the word and trust in oppression and perverse and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you a breach ready to fall, swelling out of a high wall, which breaketh cometh suddenly in an instant. And what we're going to do now is go to our break, and then after the break, we'll return and complete this.
How many of you know the impossible doesn't intimidate God? God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers. He's offended by anything less.
God will hear your prayer. He will move heaven and earth on your behalf. Mountains will be moved out of the way. So when we come to God, we come boldly. Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we come to you in prayer today, and we believe.
Don't forget to pray, but don't be ashamed to pray, and don't be too proud to pray. Prayer changes things. I don't care how dark it looked for you. I don't care what they done said to you. I don't care what the verdict is. I don't care what the haters say. Prayer changes things.
God is honored when we come to Him. He's honored when we talk to Him. And He's willing to hear and answer our prayer. He says, call unto me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. If He can part the Red Sea, knock down the walls of Jericho, and if He can give us the Ten Commandments, He can answer any prayer we pray that fits His will and His plan for our life.
We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has trusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and bring His power down to earth. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. God is ready to act if we'll be bold enough to ask.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete the instruction for number 41. Worldliness will cause man to fail, and we already read what Isaiah told Israel in chapter 30 of Isaiah, verse 1 through 14. Now let us go to our New Testament complement and see what the New Testament has to say, comparing and agreeing with worldliness will cause men to fail. And this is what Paul has to teach us in Romans chapter 8, verse 6 through 8. This is what Romans says. For to be carnally minded or worldly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So them that are in the flesh cannot please God. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Worldliness is not going to please God. We know that through the Spirit we do things that are worldly to share the word of God with mankind. But this is not talking about that type of action. This is talking about pleasure, feeding the flesh. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That worldliness, at best, is only temporary. So when you reap only, so what you reap only can be fruitful until you die. And your days compared to eternity is minuscule. We should keep that in mind, that whatever we garner in this world, it would be lost to eternity when we transition out of this life. Now let's go to instruction number 42. We're going back to Isaiah chapter 30, and we're going to be reading verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30, and we're going to be reading verse 15. And this is what I want you to pay attention to as I read the verse. Keep this in mind, my precious brothers and sisters. God will save. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God will save if, and this is what Isaiah told Israel. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But ye would not believe me. So that is what God is telling Israel through Isaiah to save them in rest or in returning. And we know that the Spirit speaking to the church at Ephesus tells us that return to your first love. Do the first works. And we know Jesus said seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness is the first work. And then in rest. And we know that we just went over it, that we should be still and be quiet and know that God is. And that tells us what, or gives us an understanding of what Israel was told by Isaiah. Now let's go to our compliment. And we're going to go to the book of Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 19, verse 9 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 9 and verse 10. And this is how Jesus puts it. God will save if, listen, my brothers and sisters, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. He was talking to Zacchaeus. And he concluded in verse 10 by saying, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. So God will save if we turn to Jesus Christ. That's the key. Now, this is what I want you to understand spiritually, what it means to us in our life today. That only through Jesus, or only through the Messiah, if you will, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, can you be saved. That is what we have to respond to, more especially as Christians, and share that with as many as we meet and greet. Okay, let's go now to instruction number 43, back to Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to be reading verse 18 through 23. Isaiah 30, verse 18 through 23. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. This is the instruction. Blessed are all that wait for him, meaning wait for God. Blessed are all that wait for him. And this is how Isaiah told it to Israel. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that you may have mercy, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. So he's telling Israel through the prophet that God is gracious and merciful. And we know that in Deuteronomy, we were told that he will be, meaning God, merciful to whom he will be merciful and gracious to whom he will be gracious. Now, this is what verse 19 says. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. That is telling us when we get to heaven. That is for us today. That is our Zion, the new Jerusalem. Verse 20 says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, remember the psalmist David says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver him out of them all. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see the teachers, and thy ears shall hear a word behind them, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left, remember that's the blessing. If you wait upon him, you will do exactly what God is saying, and Israel is being told this by the prophet Isaiah. Verse 22, ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornaments of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. We know that God is spirit, and those that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth, God, Jesus taught us. So away with all of those relics that you're looking at, all of those icons that are made of material, they should be discarded. Verse 23, Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. God will feed the sheep of his pasture. That is what Isaiah is telling Israel. Now let's go to our compliment, and we're going to see how God or Jesus put this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 10 through 12. This is what we're going to be looking at, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, and it says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness." That's who's waiting on the Lord, for they shall be filled. And verse 10 says, "Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake," meaning those who are waiting on the Lord, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake." Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, this is what waiting on the Lord will give you. "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophets which were before you." Now, this is what I want you to understand spiritually, or get this lesson, and this is what it should mean to you spiritually. It should mean that those that wait on and upon the Lord God shall be saved. And you hear what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? Wait on and upon the Lord God. That's twofold. Just like we mentioned before, the psalmist says, "Be still and be quiet and know that I am God." That's waiting on him. And also, we must serve the Lord thy God. That is the other part of waiting on the Lord to be saved. Now, what we're going to do is continue after the break.
Talking to people who have a vision and don't have the provision. I'm talking to millennials who are tired of sitting on their mama's couch. Yeah. I'm talking to people who have bought into the myth that because you're 60-something, you're old.
Wow.
And you think your life is over because you got a retirement watch. And yet you are productive and you're bright and you are literally aging and getting stiff because you don't move.
Wow.
And I am telling you that you can be fruitful in every season of your life.
Yeah.
We have to have something that scares us.
Right.
Yeah. Your greatest miracle will always be in your scary place.
That's good.
God is going to do the greatest work in your life with your eyes peeled back like this. When the Wright brothers, of whom the book is metaphorically discussing, the audacity, two grown men with no degree in middle America, standing on the ground to look up at an eagle in the heaven and say, "I belong up there." Do you know how ridiculous it was? They didn't have the money, they didn't have the education, they didn't have the training. And they said, "I belong up there." And they built a machine to reach their dream. That's what business is. A machine you build to reach your dream. Now, let's talk about the eagles for a minute, because the mother eagle, after sitting on eggs, protecting it with her life until they hatch, and going out and swimming and attacking prey and bringing back food until they grow, then turns around, the same feet that fed them and the same body that warms them takes them out to cliffs and throws them over the edge. It is not that she has turned against her children, but she knows that they will never find their wings in safety. The eaglet learns to fly by confronting its scary place. And it's not even trying to fly. It's falling and flapping and thinking mama is crazy. I'm calling Child Protective Services. I gotta get out of this. But in the process of falling and flapping and falling and flapping and falling and flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping
come on.
And flapping and flapping and flapping. That's how you get your wings. Because fear releases my adrenaline glands.
Wow.
It makes me stronger than I would normally be. It makes me able to fight or flight based on what the situation is. Fear keeps me alive when I walk into a strange situation. It lets me know, be careful. All of my senses go on edge. My hearing perks up. My body tenses and prepares for battle. Fear is a favor God gives you. He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he gave you fear to get your adrenaline going. Fear makes you study harder. Fear makes you work harder. Fear makes you pray harder. Fear makes you walk upright. When you know that there are so many people hoping you fall, fear will make you walk upright.
Wow.
Fear will make you withstand the test. You need healthy fear. Tonight, when you go home, you need to drop down on your knees and say, God, scare me again.
Come on.
Greatness festers in isolation and frustration. You only win if you don't quit. You only win if you don't quit. If you go through the dark place and the tough place and the scary place and the flapping and falling place, every great leader will be tested by pain. Nobody escapes.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're on instruction number 44. We're back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 31, verse 3 through 5. That is where I want you to turn your Bible sources to read along with me. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 3 through 5. And as I read it, please pay attention to this instruction. This is what we're drawing from it. Man against God will fail. Man against God will fail. And this is what Isaiah the prophet told Israel about that. Isaiah chapter 31, verse 3 through 5 says, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horse flesh and not, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they shall fail together. Remember what happened to all of the soldiers that were in chariots when their horses tried to cross the Red Sea? They were killed. Verse 4 says, for thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be able of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. Isaiah was telling Israel to call out to God as Moses did when the Red Sea was parted, and God fulfilled the call. Verse 5 says, as birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Call upon the Lord. This is what Israel is being told by Isaiah the prophet. Man against God will fail. So God will be the one that will overcome or help you overcome in whatever it is that confronts you. Now let's go to our compliment. We're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And we're going to see how Paul instructs us in this way. And Paul expands this out. Remember, Israel was being told this prophecy by Isaiah. This is what Paul is telling all of us. In Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 31. This is what Paul says. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 33, he continues to say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. That is where we want to be, inside of God's tent. And he continues with verse 35. Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Then he concludes, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So that is what we should respond to, because we know that if God is for us, we will not fail. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we being the created cannot dispute what the Creator has called us to do or become. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, that we being the created cannot dispute what the Creator has called us to do or come or become. That means if anyone tries to prevent us from fulfilling our calling, they will not be able to do it. You can stand on that testimony. And that is exactly what Romans chapter 8 is telling us. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 32, and we're going to look at verse 4 through 7. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 4 through 7. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. Vile and cruel people are identified. This is telling us about vile and cruel people. This is what Isaiah was telling Israel in chapter 32, verse 4 through 7. And this is what he says. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the curled said to the bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the curl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. That is how we can identify. That is what Israel is being told by the prophet Isaiah, to identify the curled and vile people. And this is, now we're going to go to our new complement, and we're going to see what the New Testament has to say about this comparing and agreeing. We're going to go to Romans chapter 7, verse 23. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. And this is what Paul tells us to beware of. Listen, my brothers and sisters. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That is the wickedness identified. The law of sin, that is what Paul is telling us about. And when we return from the break, we'll continue.
I give you four guidelines on open doors, closed doors. Number one, since God is sovereign, he is in full control on both sides of any door. Second, being in full control, God takes full responsibility for the results. Number three, the closing of a good opportunity occurs in order to lead us to an even better one. And number four, Not until you walk through the open door and look back do you realize the necessity of the other doors being closed. Even though we don't understand why, we'll go. I have no idea what closed doors you are living with. For all I know, you are going through self-loathing and blame. Or even worse, you may be blaming someone else because the door closed. Because I don't know which one to speak to directly, I speak to all of you and say, let it be. Let the oak fall. Let the acorns scatter. God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He plants His footstep on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright design and works His sovereign will. Let it be. Let it be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on instruction number 45, and we're looking at vile and cruel people, how they are identified. We already have read what Isaiah chapter 32, verse 4 through 7, said to Israel. And we've compared it with the New Testament complement, and we understand what Paul taught the Romans in Romans chapter 7, verse 23, that we're talking about the law of sin. That is a combination of vile and cruel, identified. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that wickedness at any level, God will hold you accountable for it. King Solomon said it best in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12, that every work will be brought into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So my precious brothers and sisters, whatever we do is going to be held into account, good and evil. So we should be focused on the good that we learn out of basic instructions before leaving earth. That is what I'm trying to share with you as the instruction for this lesson now, or this particular instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 46, and we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 32, and we're going to be looking at verse 17 and verse 18 in Isaiah chapter 32. And this is the instruction that I want you to draw from as we read the text. The work of righteousness is peace. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? The work of righteousness is peace. Now, this is what Isaiah said about that to Israel in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17 and 18. This is what Isaiah says, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effects of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in peaceful habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Now, what Isaiah is telling Israel is that the righteousness of God, meaning doing His work, that is what's going to give them peace. Now we're going to go to our complement and see how the New Testament has expanded upon this, if you will, or at least has compared and agrees with what we just said. We're going to go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. And this is what Paul is telling us about the same. Therefore, being justified by faith, Paul is identifying faith as that righteous work. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is considered in the New Testament the Son of Righteousness. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So not only does faith give us that work of righteousness, but it gives us access to the free gift of grace through God, which is Jesus Christ, and we gain his favor. So that's the effect of the righteous of work, that we get the grace that comes through Jesus Christ. Now, this is what I want you to get from this as a spiritual instruction from instruction number 46, that Jesus is our way, our truth, our life, our light, and our righteousness. No man comes to God but by Jesus the Christ. We're going to hear more about that in a minute. But I just wanted to identify that Jesus is the way. So all of those who are outside of Christianity, more especially the Jewish nation, the Orthodox Jews, still looking for the Messiah, they're going to have to come to grips with that, because the Bible tells us that, and Jesus spake this himself specifically, that no one can come to the Father but by way of him. Now let's go to instruction number 47. We're going back to the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 33, and we're going to look at verse 5 and verse 6 in Isaiah chapter 33. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as we read the text. My brothers and sisters, God gives to us these attributes. God gives to us these attributes. That means abilities, like talents. God gives us these. And this is what Isaiah was telling Israel at that time, what they should be receiving from God if they are following God. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5 and verse 6, it says, the Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment, all right, and righteousness, and wisdom, and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and the strength of thy salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So Isaiah is telling Israel that judgment and righteousness, wisdom, and knowledge are those attributes that are available to them, and that should stabilize them during their lifetime, and that the fear of the Lord is their treasure. And that was the fifth attribute, the fear of the Lord. Now, we know that Paul talks about God has not given us a spirit of fear, but I share with you, my brothers and sisters, that Paul is talking about God has not given us the fear of evil. Remember when King Solomon or King David said in Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That is what Paul is talking about. The fear of the Lord is essential. Isaiah is saying it is our treasure, or he's telling that to Israel. Now we're going to go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see what 1 Peter chapter 5 through 7 says about this. This is what Peter is telling us that is going to expand upon these attributes. This is for us, my brothers and sisters, we today. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. And Peter says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue knowledge, and add to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So Peter is telling us there are more talents that we should be exercising. Some consider what this verse is telling us are called the Christian virtues. These are the ones that we should understand, and it expands upon what Israel was told by Isaiah, because faith and virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love are critical attributes for us to exercise this side of eternity. There are many more, my precious brothers and sisters, but at least those are essential and critical to our practicing salvation this side of eternity. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God is worthy of our attention. Every word, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, let's look at what we're talking about here, because we're talking of those words that are inside basic instructions before leaving earth. And after the break, we'll return and complete the thought.
I can. I can is a phrase that we need to permanently remove from our vocabulary. In life, there's no perfect person. There are no perfect set of circumstances. All of us have areas of our lives that are less than perfect. Yet there are some that, despite their disability, find a way to do what others say they can't do. Moses was a stutterer. Isaac was blind. Mephibosheth had crippled legs. In our modern world, Albert Einstein, the mathematician, physicist, had a learning disability. He didn't speak until he was 3 years old. Yet he overcame these challenges to be known as one of the brightest men of our times. Alexander Graham Bell, Walt Disney, and George Washington all had learning disabilities. Yet they led, created, and inspired. Ludwig van Beethoven is the greatest composer and musician, and yet he was deaf. Helen Keller, who devoted her life to persons with disabilities, she was blind, deaf, and mute. What excuses are you using in your life? What things are you saying I can't do when you really could be saying I can? Get it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're on instruction number 47, and we're looking at the attributes that God gives to us. And of course, we have just identified what Israel was told by the prophet Isaiah, a few of those attributes. And we expanded upon them when we looked at that New Testament complement, and we saw what Peter identified in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, and he gave more. Now, what I am trying to share with you as what the spiritual intent of this instruction is, that every word that proceeded forth out of the mouth of God is worthy of attention. And I was explaining what the extent of that meant, meaning that we have basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, And in the context of the Bible, we have so much information. Now, that is not every word that God has given us. Of course, it is the inspiration of words coming from God that have been compiled into different books. But all of what I'm telling you is when the Bible teaches us in the Old Testament and the New Testament that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God, this is what is significant. Not all of what is written through the pages of this Bible that we have that is every word. It is only those that I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord God, that would be one section that you should look at. The words of Jesus's kingdom and patience, that should be another section you should look at. And what the Spirit says to the churches, that's what I'm sharing with you. Those are the three areas that I am trying to have you understand is what you focus on in basic instructions before leaving earth. Thus saith the Lord God, the words of his son's kingdom and patience, and what the Spirit says to the churches. That's what are the major attributes. The rest is good, but those are the critical areas. Now let's move to the next instruction, instruction 48. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 33, and we're going to be looking at verse 14 through 17. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14 through 17. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. Who will follow this? You hear that, my brothers and sisters? Who? Who will follow this? And this is what Isaiah is telling Israel in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14 through 17. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Here is the key, my brothers and sisters. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously, that's who. He who speaketh uprightly, that's who. He that despiseth the gains of oppressions, that's who. He that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that's who. That stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, that's who again. And shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Those are the ones that Isaiah are talking to. That is, who will follow this? And they're telling us that if you're going to be with God, then you're going to have to walk uprightly. You're going to have to speak righteously. You're going to have to despise oppression and not receive bribes and stop your ears from the hearing of malicious stuff and shut your eyes from the seeing of evil. And this is what you shall receive as a reward. This is what Isaiah is telling Israel. Verse 16, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is a very far off. So who will follow this? Meaning dwell with him. That is the all-consuming fire. Who shall receive what Isaiah was telling Israel? And that was Old Testament. Now we're going to go to our complement and see how this is compared and agreed with in the New Testament. We're going to go to John. Turn your Bible sources to John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 5 and verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 5. In verse 6, and this is what Jesus is telling us. Who will follow this? Verse 5 says, Thomas saith unto Jesus, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And this is what Jesus said. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, who will follow this? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? So that expands upon what God or the prophet Isaiah told Israel following the all-consuming fire. Now we understand that we are also to follow Jesus, more especially today, because we know that the text tells us in the basic instructions before leaving earth, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Follow him. And so that is what we should be doing. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that there is salvation in no other man save Jesus the Christ. And that is so critical to us. We understand that Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John that he has other sheepfold he must bring. Now, that is not of a concern to us other than our commission is to go and preach and teach to all that is out and we meet and greet. But we don't know who else Jesus is going to bring and how he's going to bring this. What we do know is that for our sake, as Christians, we must follow Jesus Christ. And that is what I'm trying to share with you this evening. Now, that was the last instruction. This completes the lesson for this evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and your encouragement. And now what I'd like to do while we still have a few 3 minutes remaining, I'm going to share with you the next lesson, the next episode. If you'll join us next week, same place, same time, this will be what you will receive. The title is The Principles We Should Line Up By. And the short pitch for this is God instructs, again, us through Isaiah. And the details, 8 viable lessons. We're going to look at 8 critical lessons. And those lessons will be to consider this, the judgment of God, the road to glory, stand with God, not with man. Ask God and see what he says. God is the only refuge in the time of trouble. If God doesn't approve, it will not happen. God tells us who he is, and God will protect us. He protects his. This is what we're going to be looking at next time we meet for the lesson. Now, what I see is a couple of minutes are still left, so let's quickly go through a review of what we went over tonight. And we looked at worldliness will cause man to fail, and we know that that is critical. God will save if we follow his instructions. Blessed are they that wait for him, and we understand that waiting on the Lord is key. We know that Isaiah the prophet says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. They shall run and not tire. They shall walk and not be weary. Man against God will fail. We know that as God is for us, no one can be against us. Vile and cruel people are identified. The work of the righteous is peace. God gives to us these attributes. And who will follow this? Those are all of the principles we went over tonight. And I thank you for receiving them. And again, bless you for participating with me tonight in this. And now we'll have the host sign off.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.